themselves that, you know, punctual is something that is, you know, precious. It's really good thing. You know, it's in the presence of God. We come not only just to receive, but we come to actually bring our thanksgiving. And it just makes everything better, just whole service and our offering of our heart to God, much, much better. So, all right. It's the 5th and the 6th of October. We're going to focus on Israel. You know, Israel just had an election again, hung, just like the beginning of the year, which means Israel is very much divided right now. And considering the amount of pressure that is mounting up, I believe it is not a time to be divided. So we want to really come together and pray. If the Lord has put a heart for Israel, this is an opportunity. Pastor George is a man of a deep revelation, particularly in the subject of Israel and the end time. And I believe it's actually something that the Lord is doing, because he was actually supposed to, on the same day, speaking somewhere else, that thing was canceled. I didn't know that actually this Israel special gathering was planned and was canceled. And because Christine knew about it, I contacted the pastor and said, you know, I'm thinking of putting together Israel prayer summit. Would you be willing to come? And then, in fact, two of the exact same speakers that were supposed to be speaking that was canceled are now speaking. So I believe it is something that the Lord is putting together. God wants sometimes, as Mia said, just release the word. Whoever is coming. I don't think it will be a big one. You can advertise it. The place can seat 100 people. But I believe it will be a significant word for this time. And it will be a very powerful time of prayer. So if you can actually also fast and just wait on the Lord for God to open your, you know, when it comes to end time and Israel, it takes revelation. Without revelation, you're not going to understand it. It's not going to hit you. You won't find any relevance. But if you find relevance, if God speaks to you and touches you, it'll change you. Because your whole life gets realigned with God's priority. So I just throw it out there. So we'll cancel Friday night. You know, home group leaders, let everybody know, you know, that there is, you know, just encourage one another. Let's be there, especially when there are, you know, important things that the Lord is putting together. All right. So we go on with the Gospel of Luke. How many are enjoying Luke? You're following and discussing. There's so much in the Gospels. All right. I've got no slides today because, anyway, I'm not going to give excuses. No slides. You should have brought your Bibles anyway. So let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 57 all the way to the rest of chapter 1. So Luke opens up a beautiful story with three songs. Two of them were sung by women, Elizabeth and Mary. Now we come to the third song. Now it's a song of a man. And let's read it and then we can get into the scripture. Verse 57, Luke chapter 1, verse 57. I'm going to read from the New King James. Now Elizabeth full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord has shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. Then he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Amen. All right. We just studied two psalms or two songs, and the prophetic psalms, prophetic songs, prophetic utterance, and we saw how the prophetic utterance comes and how it works and what it reveals. Very, very powerful confirmation through Elizabeth, as well as now Mary just spoke. And then Mary has gone home. Now, fast forward now, 3 months, John was born. Let me ask you this question. Like, in the Christmas, Luke is a very, very famous portion of beautiful Christmas story. Christmas story is about two babies, not one. They always come together. Why do we overlook this first birth that prefigure Jesus' birth? John's birth. Have you ever seen Christmas tree or any storyline where John features? No, I haven't come across one in my entire life. Why? I have a few reasons, you know. Let's think about it. Why? Maybe it's not very photogenic. It's not very romantic. Maybe the parents are too old. It doesn't come out in pictures very well. Oh, yeah. Or is it because John's lifestyle doesn't quite fit into Christmas warm story? Instead of Christmas turkey, you get locust. Instead of nice, colorful dress, he comes in with camel's hair. Is that why? It doesn't quite fit in. John is not someone that you want to invite over Christmas dinner, right? In case that he just bursts out in some messages. I think the real reason is not of those, but it's actually John's message. Because he is the voice that pierces from the wilderness, and we are not comfortable with the type of message that John is carrying, because he was coming to prepare the way of the Lord. And what was John's message? Repentance. This is a very, very important point. See, more and more people, like, we don't really see that people being truly born again in the time of Christmas, even though it is good, pre-evangelism. Not very many conversions are actually being recorded on Christmas Day. Why? Because they are not coming through John's voice. You just come to the party with lights and tingle and gifts and feel good and go back by Boxing Day, you've forgotten everything. Unless we come through the gospel of the Lord, and then, very interesting, another fact. When you look at, let's actually turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Very interesting. turn to Gospel of Mark. It says, the beginning of, let's read it together, Gospel of Jesus Christ. Beginning of the Gospel of who? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then verse 2, it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Isn't that interesting? He says this Gospel of Jesus Christ, and then comes the voice of wilderness, that the voice that comes out of wilderness is not the voice of Jesus. Whose voice is it? Voice of John. God refused to start telling his story, the good news of salvation, apart from beginning with John. So it is with the Gospel of Matthew, Mark. You can also see that in the Gospel of John. All four Gospels starts their story with John. Yet, we want to leave John out of every Christmas story. You don't find trace of John because his voice is the one of preparation to get into, to receive the gospel the right way. So when John came, he preached repentance. He wanted to just, just prepare the road for the glory of the Lord to come in. And it's through repentance. So when Jesus came, Jesus preached the same thing. Repent and believe, because the kingdom of God is near. We want to leave repentance out. And we don't see a powerful salvation experience. You know, when the apostles came, they preached. And the disciples, the people who were listening to the voice, was cut to the heart. And they said, what shall I do to be saved? What did Peter say? What shall I do? Repent and be baptized, and every one of you. Why? Because why did he leave out believing? Because they already believed. That's why they said, what can I do to be saved? He says, repent and be baptized. So John is really, really important. They're only 6 months apart. Cousin, probably first cousin. So John's life was to prepare the way. Herald, in fact, that voice was making way for the voice of the gospel, Jesus, to come in. And in fact, there was no other way. In fact, Jesus refused to enter into his ministry except that he submit and enter in through the word of water baptism of John. The two you cannot separate. They are tied together. And that's where the power of the gospel really starts. Amen? Okay, the story starts with village people talking and yakking, gossiping about this unusual couple, you know. And, they're all, can you imagine? Have you heard? Bible says Elizabeth hid herself for how many months? 5 months, I think. It was 5 months. So she was talk of the town for 4 months. Because 5 months is pretty good now. She could hide, and because you don't want to be talked about, gossiped about all around. So 4 months, every morning, the Daily News Telegraph or Sunday Telegraph or Women's Weekly comes out, this woman, Elizabeth. They're talking about Elizabeth. You know, she, have you seen this thing? You know, what's happening? It's like maybe she, maybe she ate too much and you can't see her anymore. Can't see her in the supermarkets anymore. And what's going on? They want to talk. Oh, yeah. Finally, everybody knows she's pregnant. How old? Whoa. Can she actually, will it go all the way? Can she really carry the baby at her age, full term? They're yakking. If she actually, brings it all 9 months, carry the baby 9 months, will she survive the delivery? Will she survive? For in those days, there were no C-section. There was no epidural. You actually needed pretty good strength. And then, some women they didn't survive when the baby was flipped and so on. You couldn't really do all these things. There wasn't cup and all that. And also, if she delivered the baby, would it be a healthy baby? What if he's got six toes and, three eyes and so on. You know, the complication and all that. Just talk of the town, yaki, 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 yak, 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 gossiping. So she hid herself. Will it be a normal baby? There was no ultrasound test. There was no amniotic fluid test. None of those. It's just that nature takes care of it. It's in the hand of God. The baby grows, and then baby is delivered. Obviously, the mother is healthy, the baby is healthy, and it's a boy. The whole town is now yakking again. They're happy. It's a mercy of God. They're rejoicing. Hallelujah. There is great joy of bringing a newborn baby, especially you consider the age of the mother and the father, and it's been their prayer. Zechariah's name is? God remembers. They've been praying, and they forgot about their prayer. God says, I remember your prayer. God had given them a son who could carry on their family name, especially the priestly family name. Holy duty. Your father is a pastor. He's a lone pastor, no child. And, you know, who can carry on his ministry? Because it was hereditary. The pastoral job is not hereditary, but back in those days it was. He's pastor. Who's going to look after the church? Who's going to do all this? It's a holy job. Who's going to carry on the ministry? And then God had given him supernatural son. 8 days later, now they want to circumcise the boy. I mean, there's a great joy, right? Finally, they can carry on Zechariah's name because he is a good priest. He is a holy, blameless, good man, all right? And so they all come together, and then John is circumcised. This is kind of about dedication. You dedicate your baby. It's very, very important for parents to dedicate their baby. Offer it to God. It does something. Okay? And so they dedicate it on the eighth day, and that's when they're trying to name. Now, let me separate the law of God in the Old Testament and the customs. Because in the Old Testament, on the eighth day, the baby should be circumcised. But in the Old Testament, when the baby is born, normally that's when the name is given. And you don't have to follow or inherit your family father's name or mother's name. Or, you know, they could be named. But it's men's tradition by this time that they will give the name on the eighth day. In fact, I did a little bit of research, and it says, where is it? Greeks would normally name their baby on the seventh day or tenth day, and the Romans would name their boys on the ninth day, but it's on the eighth day that they were supposed to circumcise. So what they were doing is that they were just giving their name, like, you know, father's name is Paul, and their son's name is Paul Jr., especially if it is only one. Right, you know that? So it would be Zechariah Jr. because it's only one, and then you get your father's name, you get your father's ministry. Carry it on. So they say, the relatives gather together, let's call him Zechariah Jr. And then Elizabeth says, very emphatically, no. And now they are all like, you know, this is our custom, this is the way it is. You know, that God remembered Zechariah and given the baby, let him follow our tradition. She's very emphatic. She says, no, he shall be called John, which means God is gracious. That went right against the custom of the day. So what do people do? They call in Zechariah, father, okay, it's your son, you should name him. Isn't that interesting? They should have asked Zechariah first. After all the debate and, you know, Elizabeth fighting, no, 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 it's John. No one in your family's got that name. Said, that's okay. And they now call Zechariah. Why was he so out of it? Because I think he was because of his dumb. Became dumb. He couldn't speak. He actually dropped out of all the important discussions and so on. So father's legacy is on it. Finally, they ask Zechariah, and Zechariah asks for a tablet, iPad, with an iPen, and then writes. No, back in those days, they didn't have an iPad, so it was a board that's covered with some kind of a wax, so you could write. And he writes, his name is John. in the original word, the word John comes first. So literally, it's very emphatic. John is his name. Is his name, not is going to be. It's already John. Because why? Because 9 months ago, angel told Zechariah. Only Zechariah was told directly from the mouth of an angel, says his name, you shall name him John. That's father's duty and, you know, authority and the right privilege to name their sons. And that's what he was going to do. But what did Zechariah do? He believed? He didn't believe. So what happened? He became mute for 9 months. What happened? He dropped out from that timeline. For 9 months came and went. He couldn't speak. He couldn't engage with people. In a sense, Zechariah's life was on the pause for 9 months because he didn't believe there's a divine alignment that God was giving him. Hard to believe, though it was at the time, it was the word straight from the presence of God. And then he's, you know, Zechariah's answer was, instead of yes, let it be done unto me according to your word, instead of that he says, how? Can't be. And then his heart, his faith was out of alignment. And then he became mute. His life was paused. It's just one moment. Let me bring another point here. When angel appeared to him, and then you will have a son, you will call him John, because he is John. He was already named. God already knew the exact person, DNA and everything. And John wasn't even conceived. And for all the adults, there are one in, what, billion chance for that exactly right DNA seed to connect. Even on the same day, even in the same one in billion chance that, you know, the world says, one in billion chance you'll be born, you'll be who you are, because who knows which egg, which sperm. Before the egg, God knew, he said, I'll send you John. This is God's sovereignty, God's knowledge, which makes me think none of you accident. You believe that? God can name you before you were conceived. He knows every fabric, exact DNA, body, material, type, everything. He can name you, give you name. He knows you by name. Amen? So none of us are accidents. Hallelujah? Let's say, I'm not an accident. Amen. I'm God's design. You were born at exactly right time. Hallelujah. Go back to the story. Okay. Now, so Zechariah said, he's written, okay, on the tablet, iPad, John is his name, because it's the name that God calls him. It's a heaven's name. And what happened? He went back to the story where angel left off. Alignment. His heart, his action, this is what he's supposed to do. He's doing what the angel told him to do 9 months later. At that moment, his tongue was loosed. The divine pause that was imposed, I'm not playing words, it just came, imposed on John for 9 months was unpaused because he's moving on, acting and speaking, doing his role according to God's prophetic word and prophetic calendar. He's aligned and then flows. He's filled with the Spirit. He speaks forth prophecies. This is how it works. It's not our smartness, our ability. There is a word of God. There is a prophetic word and times in which God speaks to you, and then we are all people of destiny. But sometimes, because of unbelief and the wrong attitude, when we are not aligned with God's plan, your life is paused, so to speak. But when we come in faith, align our heart, then it's unpaused, we flow again with God. So it's like 9 months passed. Now Zechariah begins again what he's supposed to be doing, he's doing it. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I pray, even as we look at the studies, that you begin to discern God's word over your life and you align your life with the word of God and the divine purpose flow and the prophetic flow, your words flow, prophetic time flows with your life as well. Amen? So now, then what was this purpose for this pause? You know, God is gracious. Was that the judgment of God that Zechariah became dumb for 9 months, or was it mercy of God that he became dumb for 9 months? Question. Give me an answer. Huh? Mercy. And? Sorry? Mercy. Yeah. It's definitely mercy and also judgment. It's both. He said, because you did not believe my word, you're going to have to go through this. Otherwise, you don't have to go through this, but you do. But it's mercy because Zechariah didn't understand the significance of all the words the angel was speaking. So God had to actually yank him out and then separate him out from the normal day-to-day life so that he would have to sit down in the corner, unable to speak, go through and relieve what God has spoken over and over again. And as the priest, he will have to search the scripture. Deeply ponder, what is this visitation all about? Gabriel, who appeared 500 years before to Daniel, has now come to him and given him basically very clear prophecy that highlighted the last day ministry. He really, the angel of the Lord, basically said the spirit and power of Elijah. As a Malachi chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and then Isaiah 40, verse 3. All of those things are in there. He's packed. And what it means is God's going to bring Messiah, because Elijah will come before the coming of the Lord. It's a prefiguring. All of this rich thinking, the promises of God, God's promise for Messiah, you know, the role of Elijah, the messenger, the preparation for the people's heart and all that, he had to go through, to search the scripture. He had to understand it, digest it on the inside. And then you can see when he begins to speak, my depth of understanding flows out from Zechariah. Not only a prophecy, just rich understanding of the times and the seasons in which he lives and the role of this boy. Flows like a prophetic word. 9 months did him a lot of good. Sometimes we need 9 months like that, where you get less distracted and, you know, don't too much time. Spend the time in the presence of God and not just sit there, search the scripture. Go deep, every word, every yod, Jesus said, every yod, every comma, none of it will pass away. It's so deep and so rich. You need to get in. Amen? And then so that, you know, when now Zechariah begins to speak, my goodness, what he spoke, the words, so hit the spirit man and the core destiny and identity of John as a father that it really set the course for John. So I want to talk about Zechariah as a model of a spiritual father. Just a pause here for a little while. Because sometimes, you know, Zechariah is a forgotten person. Oh, yeah, he didn't believe. Hey, he got, you know, dumb for 9 months and he spoke and then he disappears. We don't even consider much about him. But I want to encourage you, don't underestimate Zechariah. He's a godly parent who lived righteously. He's a role model as a priest Actually, God says he was blameless and righteous before God. As a priest, very, very important. Yet Zechariah's greatest legacy was not what he would achieve personally, but his greatest role is actually bringing forth a son who is going to be the greatest prophet ever born of a woman. That's a role of a spiritual father. But it was just not just simple act of miraculous begetting at an old age. Oh yeah, I couldn't, but now I can. I did it. Praise God. No. Essentially, it was a spiritual role of being the model of godly parent as the vessel of righteousness before God as a priest. Really godly model priest at home, model priest, and then model priest in the temple, model priest in the marketplace, model Christian. It takes real Christian to be a model Christian everywhere. And it's not some easy, it's not a joke, you know. It takes dedication to be a godly parent. And we need to aim at that. We need to decide at that. I'm going to be a godly follower of Jesus. Number two, he was the guardian of the revelation of God's prophetic destiny for his son, John, and for God's people, Israel. He understood, finally, times and seasons. I mean, I don't know how much he understood, but he needed that 9 months go deep so that you can hear it coming out of his heart. Number three, not only was he the guardian of revelation, number three, he was a channel of release of God's prophetic destiny into his son on the eighth day. And he named his son John. That's the heaven's name. We need to name our children. I'm talking about the character, heaven's name, what God sees them. That was the greatest spiritual inheritance Zechariah left with John. What is the greatest spiritual heritage we can leave our children? What is the greatest blessing father and mother could pass on to our children? I think many of the today's parents do not even have a clue on their children's calling and destiny in God. We need to consider it and pray. Is it giving them the best education? Because most Asian parents, don't worry about the spiritual things, you know. I just want to give you the best education. And that's our dream. We are selling ourselves short. Is there leaving a large amount of money when we die to our children? That makes me, you know, I'm guilt-free because I left some money for my child. Or is it bringing up our children in a privileged upper-class neighborhood? Now, Zechariah did none of this because John was sent out to wilderness to be educated by the Spirit. Money didn't, he didn't have the good neighborhood because he literally lived about 30 minutes to the, you know, the west of the Jordan wilderness where literally hyenas and jackals came out in those days. He would just, and in fact, he didn't, I don't believe John had lots of birthday and happy memories and lots of photos and all this. His parents probably died they were already old, so they probably died when John was young. So not a lot of necessarily happy memories. But this is very important. I want to make a point. If we want to leave something to our next generation, we need to determine what we're going to leave behind. Otherwise, we're going to leave them with a whole lot of things of this world that they cannot handle. Will not be a blessing to them. Scripture says that John didn't lack any development. He didn't have any problem with any development. His physical, spiritual, and mental. It says the child grew and became strong in the spirit. Today we can have our children growing in a really, really wonderful environment, but very weak in the spirit. John was strong in the spirit, and the hand of the Lord was with John. That's the most important thing. So how? What was that Zechariah imparted to John? Zechariah imparted God's word of destiny that touched John's spirit and brought his life into divine alignment 8 days onwards. Think your baby is only 8 days, then they can't hear you, they can't understand. So you just, no, their spirit is fully receptive. Remember, John could prophesy, recognize Jesus in just a clump of. This is my story, you know, when Nathan was little, he couldn't understand. I'm driving, he's, sitting in the bucket, and I'm just talking to him, Nathan, love the Lord. The greatest thing is that you follow Jesus, you obey him. I want you to just, you know, love the Lord more than anything else, and so on. I just talk. And, you know, he can't remember. The whole, like, 30 minutes of talking, he just... Very serious. Another time, I just sit him on the chair, on the sofa, I just talk to him for, like, 15 minutes. I'm preaching to him, Nathan, follow the Lord, love the Lord. What, you know, we think that other school or your other kids will raise them up. Sunday school, thank God for some. Your word, parents, your word, because your word has authority. You put values in them. If I say, Nathan, the best thing is just to, you know, get a good job and make lots of money and be comfortable, that's what he's going to get. But if we tell our children, follow the Lord, love the Lord, lay down your life for God, and go for God's calling. And if they're already grown up, you know, in spirit there's no distance. You can still talk even if they have left home. If they are struggling somewhere, you can still talk to them because God's given you that authority. You know, that scripture, Zechariah, actually released on the 8th day is amalgamation of his life calling. And who was the one? Angel has already given it to Zechariah to speak. But who was the one who released it? It was Zechariah. Angel could have given him direct, but it came through Zechariah. Father's role. I want to say parents, but especially fathers. You have something that you can imprint your children with if you have the word of the Lord. If they get going wayward, we can speak to them in the name of Jesus. And don't only, like, you know, when we, you know, pray, so bad. No. See what God sees and you release it with authority, because that's the authority that you have. Amen? So that's what he did. And John, I'm pretty sure John had a pretty lonely childhood. But he didn't lack anything. Nothing. He grew strong in the spirit. And the hand of God was upon him. He became the most powerful prophet. See, this is actually the... word of destiny that touched John's spirit brought divine alignment. This is a unique feature of John's life. This is a generation before Jesus returned that will have a unique focus about what their lives are all about. See, John's life had a razor-sharp clarity. He knew what he was there for. He knew who he was. He knew what his life mission was. I gave you Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, 4, 5, and 6, Isaiah 40, verse 3. These three are the three main prophetic scriptures that shaped John's life. And John quotes out of that four times in his own, as you know, to identity. In four different gospels, somebody asks, who are you? I'm not the one, I am a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way, see? It was spoken three times by the angel of the Lord, Zechariah, and Jesus talked about him, but one who really imprinted it was the role of Zechariah. So he's a wonderful spiritual father, when we hear the word of the Lord, even our children, we're going to do that today before we close it. Let's do that. Let's pray for our children. In fact, even when your children are grown up and somewhere else and struggling and so on, we can send the word of the Lord. Speak to them. You are not defeated. You are not small. You are not a chance. You are not under circumstances. You have a divine purpose. It's almost like divine purpose just hanging over so many people. It doesn't connect because our heart is all connected to things of this earth. We've got to look up, connect. So now look at now Zechariah's song. It's called Benedictus. It's drenched in scripture. And when you're going to prophesy over your baby, you expect all of it to be what? All about, da-na-na-na-na, my baby. All about baby, my mind, you are the center of the universe. You study the scripture, what Zechariah said. He spoke out 12 verses. Only 2 verses are about John. Isn't that incredible? The rest are actually about Messiah and what God will do. It's understanding the times and seasons and the role John will play. Only 2 verses about him. I mean, the whole family, what really stands out for me, for whole family, Zechariah, Elizabeth. I mean, Zechariah was a little bit shaky in faith a little bit, but he was never a cocky, proud person. The whole family is so humble. That was the mark of this family, humility. He says, you know, God's role, he's understanding this baby's role is in the understanding of Messiah, what God is doing for his people. And he says, your role is this. 2 verses out of 12. And that 2 verses was enough because it had the amalgamation of the scriptures. In fact, it's very important. Who are you? You cannot find yourself who you are until you find yourself in God's prophetic word. John's identity came straight out of the word of God. He knew who he was. Nobody could shake him. Whether people bring him over a dinner or not, it made no difference. I mean, you know, they could chop his head off. He knew who he was. He couldn't be bought. He was unshakable because he knew who he was from the prophetic scriptures. So it's in 4 parts. First one is his thanksgiving for Messiah. John praises God for visiting and redeeming his people by raising up the horn of salvation in the house of servant David. This is very powerful. The horn is a symbol of what? Strength and power. So he's talking about God is now starting a mighty salvation. Or he's really talking about a mighty Savior. Can be looked at both ways. So in the Old Testament, there are about 400 times that God promised, one day I will send you David-like king. Because everybody look back and say, you know, the time of our nation's peace and prosperity was when David was on the throne. Ever since David died, nation went down, 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 down all the way. And they're always looking back. One day there will be peace and prosperity. God will bring Messiah, the king, from the house of David. And he will restore everything. God will do, you know, bring salvation. And then he talks about great deliverance from verse 71 to 75. It talks about that God wants to free us. Because ever since David left, you know, they went down. They were 12 tribes. And after the generation, 10 tribes split off. After a little while, they were carried off by Assyrians. 2 tribes were also carried out by Babylonians. After that, Medes and Persians came, and they were under oppression. After them, Greeks came, Alexander. And then they were under them. After them, Romans came. And they're under continual oppression. They say shalom to one another. They never experience shalom. Because you can only experience shalom when God sends his king, Messiah, Jesus. And he says, he's praising God because God has set us free from all our enemies. God promised them they would have plenty of enemies and those who hate them, and it's true. You know, God promised Jews that they will have enemies and they will be hated. This has come true for them more than any other people group on earth. But they will be victorious only through the King Jesus. Amen. So what is this freedom for? This is very, very important. I mean, you know, yesterday I was reading again and again. Every time I read it, I feel like crying. Something just comes over. This is what he says. Verse 74 and 75, he says, if you have, let's read it together. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This is what you're saved for, that we being delivered from all our enemies, delivered from all our fear, that we will serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. You have vision for that? We are saved. Saved for what? To be free from all enemies, free from all fear, so that we can serve our God in holiness and in righteousness all the days of our life. Amen. You need to have vision for it. Hallelujah. Holiness, righteousness before him all the days of our life. When Jesus finally comes, we serve him more. Amen. We behold his face and we serve him. This is a practice. Serve him now. Don't put God last. You are missing out, really. Serve God. So now he says, after that, Father pinpoints, you, my child, my boy. Now he's really excited. You will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Powerful. Direct address to the spirit man. He said, you will be the prophet of the highest. He now understands what it means. He really understands what it means, because his role is to clear the way before the king comes. He's saying that, in fact, God is already doing. He's already risen up. It's a revelation. The king is already here. That's what he's saying here. And therefore, you will go before him. And in those days, before king visits the new town, he will send a herald. He will make sure all the rubbish is gone. It's like putting out the red carpet, right? You just get rid of all that. So any crooked way for the king's chariot might, you know. So they go out and straighten out the road. Get out all those rocks and things so king can just come in. His message. So the glory of the Lord will come in. This is Isaiah 40. Glory of the Lord can come in. In fact, we are living in that time. We are preparing the way. First here, and then here. And our nation, so the glory of God can come. And he says, you are the prophet. Your role, John, is to prepare the way for the Lord. That's our role. Amen? And then how does he do that? By giving people knowledge of salvation. He's not the provider of salvation, but he will give them knowledge of salvation. How does he give knowledge of salvation? By telling people to deal with their sin. Because you cannot be saved. You cannot be free. Truly. If you want somebody to be truly free, you have to tell them that they have to be free from their sin. It's called repentance. Turning, changing of the heart. Changing of our priority, our thinking patterns. Put God first instead of last. And no, Christianity, Jesus Christ is the only person who gives unconditional pardon, forgiveness of all our sins. All this, I heard about this story of all these religious leaders, and you know, they talked, What can your religion do? Ah, we do this. What can your religion do? So what does Christianity do? Christianity, Christ offers unconditional forgiveness for all our sins. Hallelujah. That's what makes difference. That's why everybody has hope. Hallelujah. So that's why John became baptized, because he would just plunge people and saying, okay, you deal with your sin, you repent, turn, let's wash your sins away. Get cleansed. Wash it all off. Have a brand new start. You prepare your heart to receive the gospel. And very soon Jesus comes along the scene. Hallelujah. Only 6 months apart. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the pathway to peace. And then with that, his final stanza, two verses, talks about God's tender mercy. Tender mercy. Gospel is the clearest demonstration of God's tender mercy. Whole nation had been going through the dark tunnels for 1,000 years plus. Everything was going downhill, oppression after oppression. And finally, he can see the dawn, the light breaking, the day spring. He's talking about the day breaking because Messiah is coming. We have gone through a very dark time. I can see a bright future now. New pathway is set because Messiah, Christ, is coming. And then this pathway of light will lead us to the way of peace that they haven't known for hundreds of years. So that's the prophecy. Hallelujah. John's boyhood is an unusual one, as I said. He was chosen, grew up, was hardly the place for good childhood development in human thinking, but it was the place of divine providence and preparation for John's life task. So I said that, you know, most probably Zechariah, Elizabeth passed away while John was still young, could have had, I believe he had a lonely childhood, but he lacked nothing. He was taught by the Spirit in the desert. I don't know. How do you view your wilderness? God allows certain wilderness to different people, certain period. Don't react. Don't react. When you have a period of pause in your life, don't switch off. Get in. Get into the revelations of God's word. Dig in. Because every one of us are people of destiny. Before you were born, God knew you. God knew exactly which egg and which sperm will meet at what time and where, your hair color, eyes. God already has a name from heaven for you. And we are living in the same time. I believe Australia is going through, the struggles in the last few years. I felt we've been going through some jungles. But I'm going to believe in the midst of it, just as Apostle Paul spoke of the righteousness of God in the time when the wickedness prevailed in Roman society, and that revelation, that gospel, just was like a nuclear, and the whole empire came under the sound of the gospel. It was a time of great revival in the end. I'm going to believe the same thing. Amen? Because we've got the same gospel. You have same gospel. We have same Jesus. Pathway, dawn is, light is coming on. Amen? Why don't we stand up? I want to lead you in a time of prayer let's pray for our children. But I want to especially challenge the fathers, because your word is very important. What you see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to lift up our children in faith. What is God speaking to you? How does God see your sons, your daughters? What is God's vision? Don't worry too much of what you may physically lack. Don't put all your energy on physical. spiritual. You may have children in the future, God already knows. All right, let's speak it. Just quietly speak it. It's okay to make some noise. You can speak it. What God is saying, nothing negative. What God is speaking, call it forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Call it out. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, why does God have gift of prophecy when God can speak to you? It's because God wants somebody else to speak out your destiny for you. It's something that God does it that way, through one another. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon you. All the children, you know, should be dedicated to the Lord. They're not ours. They belong to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we are the people of your destiny, people of the hour. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Just as according to your word, it's a time, Lord, that you release the spirit of and power of Elijah. I pray, Lord, that John the Baptist company will arise, hallelujah, out of your church, that there will be like a voice in the wilderness in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that our lives, our own lives, our children's lives will be marked with your heavenly marking. Father God, will be directed, will be focused in the name of Jesus. We will, Lord, know we will be people of destiny. Not because we will not be people just running after this and that shallow things of this world. But Father, we'll stand and move with you. I pray in the name of Jesus, any unbelief and disobedience that paused your life according to God's prophetic calendar and plan, in Jesus' name will be unpaused. As God's people repent and believe, come in faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's give the Lord a hand. God bless you. Bless you. And yeah, take care. I'll miss you for 1 week. I'll be back on Friday morning to be part of Israel prayer. Share the word. Come, pray. It's a crucial time.